Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Reish Ayin, the laws of Hanukkah begin with establishing that it's a yomtiv. Hanukkah is one of the yomim tovim that was instituted by the Chachamim during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, and the yomim tovim were established as Yimei Simcha, and therefore there's a Nisa Hesped V'tainas. Apparently, it's called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun. This is patterned after the Din Deraisa of the Yontif of Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh and the Beis HaMikdosh, there's a Kedushas HaYoyim. On Rosh Chodesh, on the Beis HaMikdosh, you have to bring the Sofen. But outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, the whole relevance of the Yontif of Rosh Chodesh on the level of Deraisa is that you have an Issa Hesped V'tainis. That's how it would appear in the Gemara in the end of the end of Tainus and the Rambam, like that, that the Issa Hesped V'Tainus on Rosh Chodesh is the Raisa. The Tur in Hilchas Rosh Chodesh quotes from the Gaonim that on Rosh Chodesh there is a Chi of Simcha min HaTorah, and they demonstrated based on the Pasuk of Yam Simchaschem of Mayadechem of Rosh Chodeshim, the fact that Rosh Chodesh is mentioned together with Yam Simchaschem, and that there's a mitzvah of Tkiyas Chatzaitzris. This is all an expression of the mitzvah of Simcha. And this simcha expresses itself on the level of the Isa and the Isa has to do with tainus. Shailas, when you have a funeral, every day there are people dying who never died before. There's always someone who dies on Chanukah. There's always a funeral. So how can you not say a hesped? It's a problem. Dinners, you're not allowed to say a hesped. You have to wait till after Chanukah to deliver the hesped. So one of the gedolim in Europe in the recent years, Bitzel Panavizha, came up with a chiddush nifla. He had a lot of chidushim halacha lemaisa, most of which were not accepted by all of his contemporaries because he was too much of a bal machadish. So he came up with the following chidush that the rabbi is not permitted to deliver hesped, but the relatives who are in the state of aninus are permitted to, because the oinin, one is a relative, one of the close relatives who is in the state of aninus is not permitted to fulfill any mitzvah saseh. He's not permitted to violate law and meat. He's not allowed to eat non-kosher food. He's not allowed to talk lashon hara. He's not allowed to do an avera. But he's not obligated, and we paskin is not permitted to fulfill a mitzvah. So Rabbi Tzela Panavizha came up with the following einfal, that the Issa Hesped V'Tainis on Chanukah is because there's a mitzvah of simcha. But the Einan is not permitted to fulfill a mitzvah of simcha. Is permitted to deliver the Hesped. His contemporaries didn't accept it because they held that the Issa Hesped is not only an Issa on the one who delivers the Hesped, it's an Issa on the one who listens to the Hesped. So fine, he can deliver Hesped, no one's allowed to listen. So Lamaisa, it's not right. But this was his original Chiddush. Yeah. That's not right, yeah. Usually what a rabbi will do is say, even though it's Chanukah, you're not allowed to say Hesped, so we'll say a few words. So then they go and deliver hesped, which is not permissible. They're not allowed to deliver hesped. And from all of the yamim tovim and megillas tainis, about 50 or so that the chachamim were misaken, scattered out throughout the whole year, every other day there was another yantiv. So all these yamim tovim, none of them had a mitzvah of suda except for Purim. Purim has lasas osam, imei mishta v'simcha. On Purim there's a mitzvah of Suda. So that's a question why that should be so. But on Chanukah, just like all the others, there is no mitzvah to have a Suda. You're not permitted to fast, but if you have a Suda, it's only a Suda Sarashus. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim a method of converting the Sudas on Chanukah into a Sudas mitzvah if you sing Shiras V'Sishbacha, so then you convert it into a Sudas Haidoya. So Sudas Haidoya, if you thank, let's say a couple is celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, or the 30th wedding anniversary. It doesn't have to be the 50th. Or a person is celebrating a birthday, or he graduates from college, or gets smicha, whatever, some special occasion that he wants to give thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you establish a Sudas Haidoya, in the middle of the Suda, you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that constitutes a Sudas Mitzvah. This is based on the Parshan Chumash of Korban Taidah, that one who wanted to express his thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring a special korban to the Beis HaMikdosh. The korban has to be eaten shlomim. The atayda is a todah shlomov. It's a form, it's a subcategory of shlomim. The Gemara says if a person shechts an oilo l'shem shlomim, Shlamim l'shem oila, that's called the Shini Kodesh. If a person shefts a toida l'shem shlamim, that's not a Shini Kodesh, because toida is a subcategory of shlamim. That's how it says in Chumash, Zevach toida shlamov. So nonetheless, it has this shinui that the shlamim can be eaten shnei yamim v'layla echad, and the toida can only be eaten yom v'layla ad chatzos. The reason being that we want to have twice as many, the Netziv explains on Parshas Tzav, we want to have twice as many people invited to participate in eating the korban, because you don't want it to become anoisa, you don't want it to become nifsabalino. So you invite twice as many people, and then you express your gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in public. So there is such an inyan as a Sudas Haidoi that constitutes a Sudas Mitzvah. If on Chanukah and Purim one will offer shiras with shvachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't just mean that you sing pop tunes and you make it happy, lebedik, but rather you express your thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the victory of the Chashmeroim and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and so on and so forth. Special thanks for this special occasion, for that event that happened in history. So then you'll convert the Sudas Urshus and the Sudas Mitzvah. This is patterned after what the Maharam Rutmerk said on the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says in Pesachim on Daf Mem Tes that it's only a Sudas Mitzvah if a Talmid Chacham gets married. But if an Amoritz gets married, then it's not a Sudas Mitzvah. So is there any way to make it into a Sudas Mitzvah? So the Maharam Rutmerk says, if one offers Shiris V'Sishbochus in the middle of the Sudas Achasana to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the fact that they're getting married, so then he converts the whole Sudas Achasana into a Sudas Hoidoya. So the same is over here by Chanukah. If one will sing appropriate poems, Shiris V'Sishbochus, over the victory of the Chashmonaim and so on, then it will become a Sudas Mitzvah. Many of these Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis, not only were they observed as a Yantav, but the Nisa Hesped V'Tainis, on the Yantav itself, even the day before and the day after, Lefneim and Achreim, were also observed as a Yantav. Some of them, you only observe Lefneim and not the Achreim, and some of them observe both Lefneim and the Achreim. Here the Tosfos in Menachos has two opinions, because the Gemara says that all the Yamim Tovim and Megillas Tainis were batlu. They were all instituted during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash. And after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, there was a big machlokes Satanoim going on for years and years into the period of the Amoraim, until they finally came to the conclusion that batlu Megillas Tainis. They're not going to continue observing all of these Yamim Tovim, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. So Tosfos has a machlokes, what about Lefneim and Achreim of Chanukah and Purim? Maybe the day before and the day after Chanukah and Purim should be treated like Shar Yamim Tovim of Megillas Tainis, since everything else was batla, so Lifnei Melachem Chanukah Purim should also be batla. So in the Shulchan Aruch they quote the issue. Rav Soloveitchik said that the Pashto says that since we say Tachnun, the Mincha before Chanukah and the Mincha before Purim, we don't say Tachnun, like on Erev Rosh Chodesh. But Shachris before Chanukah and Shachris before Purim, we do say Tachnun. So the Pashto says that it indicates that Lefneim and Achreim are no longer treated as a Yantiv. If the day before would have been treated as a Yantiv, you wouldn't say Tachnun even in the morning, even in Shachar. So the Pashto says that we assume that Lefneim and Achreim is Mutter Behesped B'Tainz. It says on Chalamoid, if a Talmid Chacham dies on Chalamoid, you're permitted to deliver a Hesped Lefano. Ein Moed Bifnei Talmid Chacham, you can say the Hesped B'fan. So that's, if it's Mutar HaChalamoyt, Chalamoyt is a Chiv Simcha Min HaTorah. It is only a Simcha Min HaRabbanan, pattern after HaChalamoyt, pattern after Rosh Chodesh. So if for sure, it says a Chacham B'fan, if one is permitted to deliver a Hesped. If one has Yartzeit, so the Ramah says that's an Isser. Many people have a minute to observe a Yartzeit by fasting. So if one has Yartzeit on a Chanukah and Purim, it's not a lot of fast, because that's on the Yontif itself. The Gemara says, Gemara quotes a Braisa that the Yontav of Chanukah was established by the Chachamim as a Yontav on which we recite Hallel every day. Hallel Shalom is recited every day. These, of course, all of these mitzvahs are going to be mitzvahs asei shazman groma. So that's a big question. The Gemara says that women are obligated to light Neris Chanukah afin hoy bios hanes. The Gemara says women are obligated to light Neris Chanukah to have haseba arbekoses, and to have Mikra Megillah for all four for the same reason. Afen hoy b'yos hanes. The Gemara Deva says, what about the Hallel on Chanukah? Are women obligated to recite Hallel Chanukah? So Tosfos in two different places has a machlokes about this. Chacham Avadi Yosef quotes the Marma Kaimsa. Taisus, okay, two opinions. The one opinion is that Taisus says, Afin Habi Asanes, that that's cause to explain, cause to be Mechayv them in Hal, despite the fact that it's his man Groma. The other opinion of Taisus perhaps feels that the only time you apply Afin Habi Asanes is when the fulfillment of the mitzvah itself constitutes an act of pursuing Nisa. Reciting Halal, you say the same text for the Halal, whether it's Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, or Chanukah. So it doesn't really express anything about the Nes. When you light the Neres Chanukah and you recite Haneres Halalu, so then there's something unique. You're expressing, you're being Mefarsim the Nes. When you sit Behaseb and you drink Harbakosis and you tell over the Haggadah, so then you're being Mefarsim the Nes. But just by reciting Halal alone, you just say the same text that you say on Shavuot and on Pesach. So perhaps that's why the other opinions in Taisus hold that you can't really call this Pirsuminis. But on the other hand, the Gemara does call it Pirsuminis. The Gemara Brochus has a suffix. Happy Mishnah in Brochus says that if one is in the middle of Kriya Shema, he's not allowed to talk, not allowed to be mafsik. In the middle of Birchus Kriya Shema, in the middle of Kriya Shema, he's not allowed to be mafsik. Unless sometimes if an Adam Choshev comes by, so one is permitted to greet him, good morning, good Shabbos, whatever, Bein HaProkim, and sometimes even Be'emtzah Perek. There's a bigger heter if it's Bein HaProk between one perek and the other, and then there's a more restricted heter if it's Be'emtza perek to respond to someone who's greeting you. So the Gemara learns it out. The Gemara in Yuma learns out this din from the Pasuk. The Gemara darshens from the Pasuk with the Barta Bom. The Barta Bom, normally the Pshuta Shon Mikra means you should recite Kriya Shema, but the Barta Bom Shiftecha Be'Seicha. You should recite Kriya Shema when you go to sleep, when you wake up, and you should talk and learning all the time. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that it means v'dibarta bam, you should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. You're obligated to talk, to be mafsik, in the middle of Kriya Shema. When is that? It's a mitzvah to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. So it's unclear. So it's lo mesar hakasar ela chachamim. So the chachamim established that that's what it's referring to. In the middle of Kriya Shema, if someone greets you, so then if it's b'nei HaKavod, there's one heter, but b'nei HaYirid, there's a bigger heter. Bein HaProkim is a better heter than Be'emtza Perek and so on. So the Gemara wants to know, that pasuk, the Dibarta Bom, the original pasuk and the original Mishnah and Brochus only says by Kriya Shema. What would you say by Halo on Chanukah? Do you have the same heter, Hapsaka? Do you have more of a heter, or do you have less of a heter? On the one hand, I should say, well, Kriya Shema is a din deraisa, and you're allowed to be mafsuk, so Halo on Chanukah is only with the Rabbanim. You're certainly permitted to be mafsik. You should certainly have this, at least the same heterim as you have on Kriya Shema, maybe even more. And on the other hand, one can argue the point and say, no, maybe since the purpose of the halal on Chanukah is Pirsumi Niso, so maybe if one will be mafsik in the middle of the Pirsumi Niso, he'll kill the whole Inyan. He'll ruin the whole Pirsumi Niso. So the Gemara has there are two assumptions in the Gemara. First is that halal on Chanukah is only with the Rabbanim. And secondly, that reciting halal has an element of pesumi nisa. Even though you don't say in the reciting of the halal, you don't say a word about the miracle that occurred, about the whole victory of the chashmonaim. This is the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yudalan and Beis, which the Netziv quoted, where he disagreed with the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva that he thinks that the obligation to recite halal on Chanukah is min haTorah, because the Gemara establishes it in Maseches Megillah based on a Kal V'chomer. Amara says that if on the occasion of Yitzias Mitzrayim they recited Oz Yashir, and the Chumash records it approvingly, even though the people recited on their own, the Chumash records the text of the Oz Yashir, implying that that was the right thing to do. So and in Mitzrayim they led a decent life. They were slaves, but they led a decent life. So Kal V'chomer, when their lives were in danger and other circumstances, and they were safe from Sakonas Nefosh, it should be a Kal V'chomer, to either Kal V'chomer or Ma'amatzinu, that one should recite, Halel. So if the Gemara learns it out from a Kal V'chomer or Ma'amatzinu, so the Chor edition implied that it's a din derais. That's what the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva. The Kal V'chomer is from the Midrash HaTorah and the Reshes Pem, and it's a din derais. The Netziv takes issue with the Chasam Sofer. So he refers to him as Hagoyin v'hatzadika chasam sofer in the tshuva. First he gives him the kovet that he deserves. Hagoyin v'hatzadika chasam sofer writes that halal al-chanukah is a din deraisa. And then he says that he disagrees based on this gemara. The gemara said the first, halal al-chanukah is only the rabbanim. They have a few volumes of he'oris on the tshuvas chasam sofer that were collected from all of the svarim of the Talmidei HaChassam Sofer. So they posed this question also, the Talmidei HaChassam Sofer, how can he write in the tshuva? The Halal Chanukah is derais, it's against the Gemara. So they say that the Gemara didn't mean to say the whole institution of Halal is only the Rabbanim. The Gemara meant to say the fact that we recite all of these prokem of Halal. Then I tell you, could have been Yotze, but if Oz Yashir is acceptable on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he could have said as Halal, one line in Halal. He could have said the first half a chapter, the first chapter in Halal. The fact that we say the whole Halal, and we're concerned about whether you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the Halal, the whole Halal, that's for sure only with the Rabbanim. What the text should be, that's only with the Rabbanim. On the level of the Rais, one could have recited the first three psukim in Bin Yotze. Then after he finished the first three psukim, he can already say good morning to whoever walks into shul at that time. So on the level of the Rais, you're not concerned about hafsaka. He was ready Yotze the Halal of the Rais. That's a teretz that the Talmidei HaChassam Sofer suggests. So the Gemara says the Chachamim instituted the mitzvah to recite Halal Shalim. Every day of Chanukah on Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Tainis that the reciting of Halal is only a minhog. And that's why we are medalge diluge. That's why we only recite Chatzi Halal. But on Chanukah, it's a takanas chachamim. So if you leave out one word, you're not yotzei. You have to say every word of the prokem of Halal. The Mishnah says in Megillah that Halal is kosher. Kol hayom is kosher for the reciting of Halal. Let's say a person didn't recite Halal immediately after Shacharis. So you can say a person is late to work, he has to run to the office. So he goes to work, he can always recite Halal lunchtime or later in the day, up until Shkia. Halal is kosher kol hayom. And Lachatchila, the Mishnah says, one should not, even if a person davens at the 6 o'clock minyan, and he davens Shmona Esrei of Shachris before Hanetzach Hama, so the many Achrayim hold that that's permissible Lachatchila, because in the Beis HaMikdosh, they used to bring the Tom Shal Shachar every day before Hanetzach Hama. So many Achrayim are of the opinion that since the Zman of the Tfilos was instituted by the Chachamim, corresponding to the Zmanim of the Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdosh, so it's permissible Lachatchila to recite Shacharis before Hanetzach Hama, just like in the Beis HaMikdosh. They always brought the Talmud Shal Shachar every day before Hanetzach Hama. But so the Chazor HaShatz can also take place, according to that opinion, before Hanetzach Hama. But the Halal, that says Beferish in the Mishnah, that not. Halal Lachatchila should be recited after Hanetzach Hama. Look, if people have to run to the office and they can't do the Lachatchila, so then if it's really a Shas HaDchak, so you can do the Lachatchila, but usually is only acceptable B'diyevit. So B'diyevit, the Mishnah does say in Megillah that if one recites Halal after Alos HaShachar, he would be Yotzei B'diyevit. So B'Shas HaDchak, you can do that too. But Lachatchila, even those who allow davening Shachar's Lachatchila before Hanetzach Hama would not permit the reciting of Halal before Hanetzach Hama. That's a Beferish Mishnah. And then the Braisa says, the Gemara quotes the Braisa from Maseches Tainis. The Braisa says the Chachamim instituted a takana that one should recite Ala Nisim in the middle of the Shmona Esrei. Exactly where? So Ala Nisim, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Nisim and the flaws that he did on the occasion of the Nes Purim, on the occasion of the Nes Chanukah. So the place to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the middle of Moedim. So you say Moedim on Achnu Loch for this and for that and for the other thing. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Chayena Hamsum V'Yadecha for giving us our lives, Al Nishma Sein HaPkudas Loch, Al Nisech Shebchoyim Al Niflasech V'Toy V'Sech Shebcholeis Erev HaBoike V'Tzoharoyim. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should say with a Vav V'Al HaNisim, like you said on all the others, Al Chayena V'Al Nishma Sein V'Al Nisech V'Al Niflasech V'Toy V'Sech. So you should add on with a Vav. If you look in the Rambam in Hilchas Tfilo, that's where the Rambam has V'Al HaNisim at this point in Moedim Anachna Loch. The way we have the text printed in the Sidurim, it really doesn't make sense. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for A, B, C, D, E. And then we say in summation, HaToiv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so good, Kilo Chola Rachamecho, He's always kind, Hamrachim, Kilo Samach HaSadecho, Miyolam Kivinu Loch. And then you go back again to say, V'ala Nisim, V'ala Purkan. You already said in summary, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to us, and He's good, Miyolam Kivinu Loch. We always hope to God. So the Rambam has what I think is probably a more correct nusach. He has Val Nisach Shabchal Yom Emanu, Val Niflasach V'Tevasach Shabchal Eiser V'Bekev V'Tzoharayim V'Al Anisim Al Apurkan. If you continue the sentence over there, and it's such a long Hoysofer, So the Rambam apparently thinks that it doesn't make sense anymore to give the summation at the end. He just said such a long paragraph over here. So whatever the Rambam has on Chanukah and Purim, when he has the Alanisim Alapurkan, so he leaves out the last sentence. He leaves out the summation. I can understand why. Makes more sense like that. The Gemara says that Alanisim was instituted by the Chachamim in Tfilah. Because you have to daven every day. Shachris bin Chamar said the institute of Alanism. What about in Birchas HaMazon? Some people don't eat bread all week long. On Shabbos, you have to wash. You have to have Shalashudas on Shabbos. But on the weekdays, you're not mechuyev to wash. The sudas that you have on Chanukah are just sudas for Rishus. There's an Issa Tainus, but you're not mechuyev to have a suda to wash. So the question is, did the Chachamim ever institute the reciting of Alanism in Birchas HaMazon? So the Gemara raises the suffix in the sugya of Chanukah. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's optional. If you want to, you may. It's not a hefsek. If you want to add on in the middle of Birchas HaMazon, the Alan Nisim, in the middle of Noid V'Lachot, just like over here, we add on in the middle of Moedim HaNach Noloch, so it's in the middle of Birchas HaMazon, in the middle of Noid V'Lachot. If one wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should say at that time, V'Alan Nisim V'Alan Purka. But one is not obligated to recite Alan Nisim, because you weren't obligated to wash in the first place. You weren't obligated to say Birchas HaMazon in the first place, and I'm mechuyev to have a suda on Chanukah and Purim. Our minig is, even though it's all Rishus, our minig is that we always do recite Alanis. So that's a shaila that the Magen Avraham raises. What if it's Shabbos Chanukah, and the person recited Birchas HaMazon after his Shabbos Dikim meal, and he said Alanisim, and then he forgot to say, got so exhausted from saying Alanisim, it's so long, he forgot to say Ritzei. And then when he realizes he forgot to say he's not Yotze the Suda Shabbos, he has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon a second time. So when he repeats the second time, is he obligated mitam minik to recite Alanisim again a second time? But he say, no, he already said Alanisim the first time. The Chachamim would have a mechayev to say Alanisim in Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara says it's a rishus. The minik developed over the years that we have chosen always to recite Alanisim in Birchas HaMazon. But maybe the minik is only when you're benching the first time after a meal. That a person has to recite Birchas HaMazon a second time after the same meal is a very unusual situation. It's on Shabbos Chanukah where he said Alanisim the first time, he forgot to say Ritzei. Now he has to repeat the Birchas HaMazon to be Yotze the Suda. Then maybe he's not Mechuyev. That's what the Magen Avraham raises, such a possibility. Where did he get such an Ein Fall from? That one is not bound, one is not obligated to observe a minig in an unusual situation. The minig goes under normal circumstances. There's no minig in an unusual situation. So the Nitziv points out that that's based on a Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, where the Rambam lists off, Rambam has all the dinim of Shechita, then he has all the dinim of Treifus in Hilchos Shechita. So then the Rambam says, he lists off what are Treifus min HaTorah, then he lists off things that are Treifa min the Rabbanan, then there are certain things that are Treifa mitam minig. They're not Treifa min HaTorah, they're not Treifa min the Rabbanan. Like the discussion that they're having now about a lot of the sirchas on the animals. A lot of the animals have a very high percentage of sirchas on the lungs, and we ask the flesh, so how come we don't ask the milk? So they say, the Akhrenim say, that a lot of those sirchas are not awesome in Atar, they're not awesome in the Rabbanah, they're only awesome in Tam Minig, and the Minig only was instituted Lagabi the flesh, the Minig was never instituted Lagabi the Cholov. Why should I distinguish the Cholov if you milk a cow that happens to be a Trefa? So the milk is awesome in HaTorah. So if you have a minig not to eat the flesh of an animal that has a certain kind of a sircha, so why doesn't the minig carry over to the cholov? So the answer makes sense according to the Rambam. According to Tosfos, it does not make sense. The Rambam writes that if one drinks yotze min ha-tomei, if one drinks milk that comes from a non-kosher animal, or one eats eggs that come from a non-kosher bird, one will not get malchus. Tosfos and Chulin disagrees with the Rambam. Tosfos says that this malchus on a yotzim and aser, if you drink the milk from a non-kosher animal, you eat the eggs from a non-kosher bird, you get malchus the same as eating the non-kosher bird itself, or the same as eating the non-kosher animal. But the Rambam's opinion is not so. So according to the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah writes that this iser of yotzim and aser is only an iser aseh, and it's something like the iser of chatzishir asim and ater. But chatzishir, even though it's asim and ater, but there's no malchus, it's a lower level iser. It's not a full-fledged iser. It's a chatzishir. A lesser reason. So that's why the Achrenim write that there are many sirchas that we don't allow people to eat the meat, but those sirchas are not awesome in Atar, they're not awesome in Rabban, only awesome in Tam Minik, The minig only applied to the flesh, to the basar of the animal. The minig never applied with respect to the cholov, because the isa yaitzam and asar is a lower level isa. So we're not machmet to that extent. So then the Rambam writes that he describes different treifas that are asar mitam minhog, and then he raises a certain situation. He talks about a certain case. He says that that's not even asar mitam minig. It can't be asar mitam minig because the minig is not binding on a dovah shena matzui. If it's a rare thing that comes up once every 20 years, so it's not shach to say, the minig is that we do this, or the minig, what do you mean a minig? A minig is only binding if it's a common thing that comes up all the time. If it comes up once every 20 years or something, so it's not shach to talk about a minig. Once every 5 years, it's not shach to talk about a minig. Apparently the Rambam, there are different opinions as to why a minig is binding. So apparently the Rambam seems to hold that a minig hatzibur is binding because one who will not observe the minig will be considered a parish midarki hatzibur. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Tshuva that there's a separate avera. One is parish midarki atzibur, ein lachelik le'olam abo. So the Rabbi asks, what avera did he do? The parish midarki atzibur. What is it? He's worshipping Avodah Zarah. He doesn't go to shul on Shabbos. He's machal Shabbos. He eats treifas. In what sense is he parish midarki atzibur? So the Rambam seems to be implying that parish midarki atzibur itself is an avera. That itself constitutes an avera. He does keep Shabbos and he does keep kashrus. He keeps all the mitzvahs HaTorah. But as the Yiddish expression goes, Emach Shabbos Mazich, he doesn't go along with the tzibur. He separates himself from the tzibur, and that itself constitutes an aver. So if a person observes all the mitzvahs min HaTorah mid Rabbanon, but he violates a minig HaTzibur, so that itself constitutes, what's the aver? He's perish midarki HaTzibur. It's not that there's a fulfillment of a mitzvah when you do a minig HaTzibur. If you don't observe the minig hatzibur, you're violating an avera. That's why there's a machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos, whether, let's say, when one recites chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh, which is a minig, it's a minig hatzibur, minig hakohol, does one recite a brocha or not? So Tosfos' opinion is, in brochas, in another place, Tosfos says that one does recite a brocha on reciting chatzi halal on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh Tevis, it's in the middle of Chanukah, so of course you say a bracha, you're saying halal shalom. But on every other Rosh Chodesh, when you only say chatzi halal, so that's a machlokes. So Tosfos' opinion is that fulfilling a minig is a mitzvah. Fulfilling a minig is a mitzvah. And the Rama's opinion is fulfilling a minig atzibur is not a mitzvah, it's just that you didn't violate an avera. You were not parish midarki atzibur. So that's why the Rambam seems to hold, as the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita, that a minig is not binding on a dovah shena matzu. You can't say that a minig is binding if it really comes up. So the Magen Avraham raises such a possibility that the person who benched on Shabbos Chanukah and he said Al HaNisim the first time and he forgot to say, and he's obligated to recite, to repeat the Birchas HaMazon the second time, to say Ritzeh in order to be able to receive the Shabbos. So in the second time he thinks that he doesn't have to say Al HaNisim because he already said it the first time. And minig is not binding on a dovah shena matzah. The problem is that when you look in Yeridaya, the beginning of the third Chelik Yeridaya, where it has all the Hilchos Shavuos and Hilchos Nedarim, so there they quote the Tosfos opinion. They don't quote the Rambam's opinion that a minig atzibur is binding, and you have to observe it because otherwise one will be in the category of parish midarki atzibur. They don't say that. They quote Tosfos Shita. Tosfos Shita is based on the simple reading in the Gemara. The Gemara Nedarim says that a minig tov is binding mitam neder. The Rambam, in a collection of tshuvas, has a different interpretation in that Gemara. The Rambam learns as follows, not that a minig is binding mitam neder, it's considered as if he took a neder. The Gemara says, kol ha-noide kilu bana bama. If a person takes a neder, it's considered, in a certain sense, as if he built a bama, b'shasis abamas. What do you mean? The Rabban Shalom commanded us to bring karbanas in the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to do more. He's going to bring karbanas in addition to the karbanas offered in the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to add on and bring karbanas even chutz to the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to do that. Sometimes you're not allowed to add on things to the Torah. Sometimes you're allowed to. Sometimes you're not allowed to. There is a din of Bal Tosef. Sometimes you're not allowed to add on to the mitzvahs. So the Gemara is saying, in a certain sense, one who takes a neder is a sinner. He's in violation of Bal Tosef. The Yerushalmi has an expression, Lo dayecha masha asra alecha Torah. It's not enough what the Torah prohibited. Masha asra alecha dvar mahamutorim. You accepted upon yourself a neder and a shvua to ask for additional things. Try to observe what it says in the Torah. What do you have to add on more? So the rabbis are opposed to taking the Dharma. In a certain sense, it's a violation of Baal Teisa. But strictly speaking, there is a parsha of the Dharma, shvuas, and the Torah. So you can't say it's an outright violation of Baal Taisir. So the Rambam understood in the Gemara that a minig, the Gemara never said a minig tov is binding mitam neder. The Gemara says a minig is like a neder. In what sense like a neder? So it's like a neder smacks from, just like nedorim, smack from Baal Taisir. In a certain sense, he's adding on to the mitzvah HaTorah. Lo dayacha masha asra lach HaTorah. Problem. Why is it permissible to introduce any minhagim? Every minig should be a violation of Baal Taisiv. In a certain sense, should be a violation. So the Gemara is just making a comment. Not that the binding force of a minig, not that you're obligated to observe a minig because it's as if you are taking an edit. No. It's just the binding force of a minig is if it's a minig at Sibur, then it's binding because it's if you won't observe the minig, you'll be parish medaki at Sibur. That's why the Rambam writes, if it's a dovashenim vatsui, so then it's not binding because it's not noticeable that he's parish mendak at Sibur. It only comes up once every 5 years. It's not noticeable. So the shaila is that in Yeridei, the accepted opinion is the even though the Mechab usually follows the Rambam, but over here in the beginning of the third chelik Yeridei, the accepted view is the opinion of the Bali Ateswis, the way they read the Gemara in the Dorim. The minik tov is binding mitam neder. That there are two types of Nidorim. There are two parshias of Nidorim. There's a parshas Nidorim and parshas Maaseh that talks about Nidri HaRishus. Then there's the parshas Nidorim in, where is it later in Dvorim? In, I'm not sure where it says. Where is that? Re'eh. Some parshas Re'eh. So the Ramban thinks that these should be counted as two different mitzvahs. The Rambam counts everything as one mitzvah, Nidorim. So the Ramban thinks, and the Rambam agrees with this, it's a machlek, it's a minyan on mitzvah. The Ramban says that they're so different, how can you include them in one mitzvah? Ramban says that the Kol ha'yetzeh mipiv yaseh in Parshas Matos, that's an iser aseh. Let's say a person took a neder that he's not gonna attend a family simcha. He's not gonna attend the bar mitzvah, and he sticks to his guns and he doesn't attend. So he was mekayim a mitzvah. He did an avera by taking such a neder. He didn't do a mitzvah. He didn't. It's an iser aseh not to violate his neder. So he didn't violate the neder. So that's the pasuk. What's again the pasuk? Chol ha'yetzeh mipiv yaseh. That implies an iser aseh. The Ramban writes. The other pasuk, Motzvah Sechot Tishma V'Yasisa, Kasher Atarta L'Hashem L'Kech Anadova, Kasher Dibarta V'Ficha, that's a Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's a Kiyum HaSeh. When is that? So the Ramban says that pasuk, Motzvah Sechot Tishma Re'eh, is only speaking about Nidrei Mitzvah. If a person takes a neder to give tzedakah, he takes a neder to learn Daf Yomi, he takes a neder to daven and shul or something like that, to bring korbanos. So by Nidrei Mitzvah, there's a Kiyum. There's a kiyum aseh. So Taisus is of the opinion that minik toiv is binding mitam neder. We treat it as if it would have been a nidrei mitzvah. If it's a minik toiv, if the person has a minik toiv, so if it's his personal minik toiv, so we treat it as if he had taken a neder. The ikar adin derais and neder is only binding if he pronounces with his lips. Kasher dibarta b'ficha. If he doesn't say with his lips, so it's not binding. Or the other pasuk says. In Parshas Vayikra, the end of Parshas Vayikra, by Shvuas Bitoi. So the Gemara learns that Goma believe b'toch lahoitzi b'svasa. But there are certain nedarim which are chal b'machshava. Nidrei hegder shachal b'machshava. Kol nedib leivay l'sevi. We learned in Kiddushin last year, the beginning of the second parak in Shvuas. The Gemara says. So Taisus learned the Gemara in the nedarim as saying that if you have a minik toiv. Is binding mitam neder. We treat it as if it would have been nidrei mitzvah, as if it would have been nidrei gavoa. Nidrei gavoa chal b'leiv. So a minik toiv is also chal b'leiv. So according to the way Taisus understands that, and then there's a minik ayochid, it's considered as if I took this neder, and then there's a minik atzibur, as if the whole tzibur took the neder. So whatever community I belong to, I'm bound with their nedarim. I'm bound with their minhagim. If a girl marries a girl as a Sfardiya, marries an Ashkenazi, or whatever, a person lives in one community, moves to another community, so he's no longer a member of this community, now he's a member of the other community. So whereas before he was brought up in Germany, he only had to wait 3 hours after Fleischig's, but now he moved to this community, so now he has to wait 6 hours. So whereas before the other fellow had to wait 6 hours, now he's a member of this community. So he has different Nidorim. if he belongs to a different tzibur, unless daita lachsa, belongs to the other tzibur. He has a different set of nedarim, because it was never a personal neder. There are personal nedarim, then there are family nedarim, and then there's a community neder. So you have to determine which minhagim are personal, which minhagim are family. That's the question. Let's say they're waiting 6 hours, 3 hours. That depends on families, or that the family is your family, unless you want to resign from the family. Unless you marry into another family, and you're more shaykh to that family than to this family, okay? So you have to determine each minig, whether it's a minig ha-yochid, or a minig ha-mishpacha, or a minig ha-kol. If it's a minig ha-kol, then it depends if it's daita laksa or ain't daita laksa. Where am I? So again, so in Yerideya, beginning of the third chelik Yerideya, the accepted opinion is not the Rambam's opinion. The Rambam never says that one is obligated to observe minhagim. He says, a minig ha-tzibur, you're not allowed to violate it. But you don't say a bracha when you say the chatzi ha-lam ha-shchaydish. Because it's not a kiyum asay, you're not violating the isra of parish menat sibra. According to Tesis, there is a kiyum asay. Whenever you fulfill a minig, it's the kiyum asay of mitzvah sasecha tishma v'yasisa kashen adarta l'asham l'kechen adogah. It's not like a nidrei harishus, it's like a nidrei mitzvah. Nidrei mitzvah, the Ramban said, are kiyum asay. With the Rabbanan, we treat a minig as if it would have been a nidrei mitzvah. He never said it with his lips. You have to pronounce with your lips. So the Gemara says, "Minig Tov is binding mitam neder midirabbanim." That's how Tosis read the Gemara. "Minig Tov is binding mitam neder midirabbanim." So that's a nidre mitzvah. So that's why Tosis sheet is that you say a bracha before you recite the chatzi halal am Rosh Chodesh. The same thing, let's say, observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So many Rishonim, the Gemara says, after they instituted the Luach Kavua, so we no longer have a Sveka Diyama. We know when Yom Tov is going to fall out. So does it still make sense to observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias? So the Gemara says, in the beginning of Beitza, Shalcha Meitam, they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael that we should still continue the practice of our forefathers, Yizor, B'minig HaVaseich Meidechem. So this is a machlek to Zarishanim, how to read the Gemara. Does it mean that the observance of Yom Tov Sheni Bizman Hazeh is only a minhag? Oh no, it's a takonim in the Rabbanon. The nusach of the letter that the rabbi sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel was Yizor b'minig avasechem yedechem. We hereby make a takana, you should continue, you should preserve the practice of your forefathers. But that's not a minig, that's a takana of the rabbi. So that's a machlekes. So Tosis writes, and the Rambam writes in one place, that the Yom Tov Sheni is only a minig. And the Ran, on the Rif, on Sukkah, on Daf Mem Vav, disagrees with the Tosis. Because Tosis says that it's only a minig, he disagrees, he thinks that it's a takana of the rabbi. So the Rishonim have a machlokes, one who does malach on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. How exactly do we punish him? Do we put him in chair or not? So Tosis learns the Gemara that you put a person in chair, because one who violates a minig is violating. Really, mechuyev midi rabbanu to observe the minig. Even though Yom Tov Sheni is only a minig, they hold that it's an aver. And other Rishonim disagree. You don't put the guy in chayrim for not observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. He only violated a minig, and a minig is parish medarki atzibur. It's a lower level. It's not really midin neder. So that's why most of the Achranim disagree with this Magen Avram. Magen Avram raised the possibility that if he recited Birchas Hamazon on Shabbos Chanukah and he said Alan Nisim the first time, if he got Ritzin, he has to bench a second time. So Magen Avraham raised the possibility that he doesn't have to mention Alan Nisim in the second Birchas Hamazon on the same meal, because the minig is not binding because it's a Dovah Shein Rogel. So they argue that would only make sense according to the Rambam's opinion, but we don't really follow the Rambam. In Yerideya, the beginning of the third Chelik Yerideya, the accepted opinion is Tosfos Shita, that a minig is binding mitam neder, so you can have a neder on a Dovah Shein Rogel. So that's why most assume not like this. The Netziv has his commentary on the Shiltas. So he claims, based on the reading in the Shiltas, he thinks that when the Gemara said that reciting of Al HaNisim is only Yerushus in Birchas HaMazon, the Chacham only required we should recite Al HaNisim in Shemoneh Esrei. They never really were mistaken that you have to say Al HaNisim in Birchas HaMazon, it's only Rishus. And the minhag developed that we do say, so he claims, based on the Shiltas, it's only Rishus on the weekdays of Chanukah, because one wasn't obligated to wash. Because all the Suddhas that you have are Suddhas of Rishus, but on Shabbos Chanukah, when you are obligated to wash, then you're obligated to bench, then you're obligated Medina to recite Al HaNisim. So he said, what do you mean the Magen Avraham raises the possibility that the second time you bench after the meal, it's only a minig, and there's no minig on a davar she'eino matzeh. He's saying a benching the second time after the same meal. He says no. He thinks that he's wrong. He thinks, according to the shiltas, that midina, one is if you forgot, it's a chiddush. He says if you forgot talan nisim and benching on Shabbos Chanukah, he thinks you have to bench over again because you have to recite talan nisim and benching. We don't paskin like that, the way he claims based on his shiltas, but one should be extra careful on Shabbos Chanukah not to forget Talan Nisim and bench. Right, then the Ramah says that we paskin, one who forgot Talan Nisim and benching, doesn't repeat Birchas HaMazon, then the Ramah says, the minig is that he should recite at the end, HaRachmani Asal Talan Nisim and Eflos, Geshem Shasisal Al-Sen Abayam HaMahem Bazman HaZet, then you say the whole paragraph in May Matiso, and so on. Right, that's what the Ramah quotes. The Achrayim ask, how can you ask for a miracle? Or Achmani Asalon and Nisim and Aflois, the Mishnah says in Brachas that one is not permitted to ask for a miracle. Mishnah says if a person is chalashing to have a son or a daughter, and his wife is expecting a baby, he's not allowed to pray when she's in the middle of the pregnancy. He's not allowed to pray she turn out to be a boy, turn out to be a girl. Whatever it is, it is. The Rebbeinu Shlom can make a miracle, but you're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So how come over here, the Ramah has such a practice that you say, Rachmani Asalan and Nisim Neflos. So the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Pechor Shor, he develops three klolim. He says, if you're asking for a nest for all of Klal Yisrael, that's permissible. Hey, Rachman Asalan and Nisim Neflos, Kishem Shasit Salav Zain, he's asking on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That's the Klal, that the history of the Jewish people is Lamaila Men Ateva. So if they ask for a nest for Klal Yisrael, there's nothing unusual. Or, the Gemara has in Tainis, there's a whole parak that has a lot of stories about Tanoim and Amaroim, all the Pirka de Chassidi, all the stories about the different Chassidim and Tzadikim. So the Gemara has there different Tzadikim. We're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Nisim Gluyim. So apparently one is on a very high madrega of Tzidkis, is permitted to ask for a Nes. And then a third klal they develop is, if it's a Nes Nister, then anyone is permitted to ask for a Nes. You're not allowed to ask for a Nes Nigla. But to ask for a Nes Nister, that's permissible. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say a person is very poor. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, do a Nes and you should eradicate my poverty. See, even though B'derech HaTeva doesn't look like there's any way he's going to be able to overcome his situation, but he's asking for a Nes Nister. He asks for a Nes Nister, that's permissible. Or let's say someone is sick, and the doctors don't see how he's going to get better. But a lot of times the doctors don't know. So if he asks for a Nes Nister, sometimes they'll develop some new cure, sometimes the old cures will work. If a person is mamish holding by dying, and the doctors say it's impossible, but there are chateva, this person will pull through. So then, Taki, you're not allowed to ask for a Nes. You're not allowed to ask that he should have a refuah shleima. He's holding his half dead. How can he ask for a Nes Nigla? But if the situation is questionable, and the doctors don't know, they don't predict he's absolutely going to die, no chance of survival. So then you're asking for a Nes Nista, so that's permissible. Let's say the patient's already so deteriorated.
Yeah, talking about the baby.
Oh, the baby?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know what it's going to be. No, I mean, we can't see what it is.
You can't tell.
No, but we know that it's either a boy or a girl. Yeah. Whatever it is, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's called an Nes Nigla. I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to possibly change whatever the nature of the baby is. It's not visible to us, but I'm asking him to change Teva.
Before the Biyah?
Yeah, that you can ask for. The Gemara says in the first 40 days, it's not yet determined. Because the boys and the girls are the same. That's determined towards the end of the first 40 days. Gemara says, then you may ask. That's not a Nes Nigla.
You want to say his mother from Biyah?
Okay, that's a question. How was she allowed to? That's a good question. She asked for a Nes? Yeah.
The Gemara says that you can, when you harvest, you can like ask for a miracle. Let's see when you die. It's just there. So when it comes to a baby, so why isn't that see when you die?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's a very good question. I don't know. These two takanas that the Chachamim made, they instituted a takana to say Hallel. And another takana to say ala nisim, these are very different. We have different kinds of brachas. We have birchas hanenin, we have birchas hamitzvahs, and then people usually lump together a third category, birchas shevach v'hoidah. So it's really a mistake. Shevach v'hoidah is not one category. There's birchas hanenin, birchas hamitzvahs, birchas shevach, and birchas hoidah. Birchas shevach, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't say thank you. When there's a lightning, a thunder, it doesn't affect me. I say thank you for the lightning, thank you for the thunder. It doesn't make me wealthier. It doesn't make me wiser. It didn't make me any happier. I just praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over His greatness. Birchas Shevach is you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu about His greatness, His gedula. Masheni came Birchas Haidor, I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something that He did for me. So really, this halal and ala nisim are very different. The halal is Shevach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ala nisim is Haidoya. You're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Chacham made a takana that we should have both on Chanukah. Then the Chacham made a takana we should learn Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah. Kriyas HaTorah was instituted Shelo Yachu Shloshes Yamin below Torah. The Gemara is going to have later in Bava Kama that Moshe Rabbeinu, together with the Chachamim in his generation, made a takana that we shouldn't go 3 days without learning Torah. So the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, basically to lay Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, is not to go so long without Limud HaTorah B'Tzibur. Talmud Torah B'Yochid you have to have every day, but Talmud Torah B'Tzibur you have to have every 3 days. You have to have at least every 3 days. But then on special occasions, the Chacham made a takana, we should always learn extra. So on Shabbos and on Yontif and on Tisha B'Av and on Chanukah and on Purim, whenever anything happens, whether good or bad, everything should revolve about Limud HaTorah. The Torah should guide us in all of our ways, whether it's a happy day or a sad day. The Chacham instituted Kriyas HaTorah. I remember years ago, on the anniversary, at the first year that after Martin Luther King died, so they had, I don't remember what it was on the first year outside, or the first year that they observed his birthday. Got to be what it was. So they closed all the schools in New York, and yeshiva couldn't close. Because yeshiva has, we give off Yom Tov and everything, so we have the exact number of days that are necessary in order to get credit for the college. Sometimes you have a Wednesday, has a Monday schedule, and so on, in order to make up for the missing days, so they couldn't close that day. So the Schwarzer were surrounding the building, and the administration was afraid they were going to smash the windows, there was going to be a riot, so they told Dr. Belkin, it's a sakana, what are we going to do? So he said, no problem. He said they should put a sign downstairs in first hall, on the first floor. There's a bulletin board that always has an announcement who died and who's sitting shiva and where the telephone number is and what the address is. So he says, put up a sign that in accordance with Jewish tradition, all the studies today are dedicated in memory of Dr. Martin Luther King. That's the way the Jews observe happy occasions and sad occasions, whatever. Someone dies, a baby is born, whatever. You name the baby during, you get an aliyah. So a chassan gets married, he gets an aliyah. Shiva's Me'amishta, he gets an aliyah. Everything revolves about Kriyas HaTorah. So Chanukah is a special day, so the Chacham instituted Kriyas HaTorah. It's not just a special day like Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed. There are a different number of aliyahs. On a plain day, we have three aliyahs. On Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, we have four aliyahs because it's a Kedushas Hayom. On Yom Tov, you have five aliyahs. The Kedushas Hayom is higher than our Chol HaMoed. And then you have six and seven is Yom Kippur and Shabbos and Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which has six and which has seven. So our practice is that Yom Kippur has six aliyahs and Shabbos has seven aliyahs. And Rabbi Kiva disagrees. We follow Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He thinks no, that Shabbos should have seven. Shabbos should have six aliyahs, and Yom Kippur should have seven aliyahs. So Lamaisa Chanukah and Purim only have three aliyahs. It's a regular day. It doesn't have a Kedushas Hayom. It's only Midirabbanan. There is no Kedushas Hayom. But there was a takanas chacham that you should lay in Kriyas HaTorah. Exactly what do you lay in Kriyas HaTorah? So the chachamim instituted we should lay in the Parshas Nisim in Parshas Nasai. So each one of the Parshas HaNisim, Bayam HaShene, Bayam HaShlishi, each one has six psukim. So the takana was that each ali has to have a minimum of three psukim. So you can divide that up into two aliyas. You can give the Kohen first three psukim, give the Levi the next three psukim. Then what do you give the Yisrael? So that's a machlokes in the Mechaber and the Ramah. So the Mechaber says You can't lay tomorrow, so let's say the second day of Hanukkah. On Sunday is going to be the second day of Hanukkah. What are you going to lay by Yom HaShlishi? What does Yom HaShlishi have to do with the Yom HaSheni? So you have to lay over by Yom HaSheni. So the Shlishi, the Israel, has to lay over all of the six psukim. So it comes out that all three Olim Latar laid on that day's Kriya. The Ramos says that the Ashkenazim don't feel restricted Davke to lay that day. You can lay tomorrow's Kriya also. So you lay for the Kohen and the Levi, you lay three psukim, and then for the Shlishi, you lay tomorrow's Kriya. The same Achlekes that you have by Chalamoid Sukkos. You have to give four Aliyahs on Chalamoid. So the Shaila is, so let's say each day of Chalamoid is a Sveka Diyoma. The first day of Chalamoid we treat as if it were a Sufik. Is it the second day of Sukkos? Or is it, we have 2 days Yontif on Chutz Lorz. So the first day of Chalamoid is really the third day of Sukkos. So we learn the Yom HaSheni, then you learn the Yom HaShlishi. So the Kohen gets the Yom HaSheni and the Levi gets the Yom HaShlishi. So what does the Shlishi get? So the Ramos says our practice is that the Shlishi gets by Yom Arvi, tomorrow for sure has nothing to do with today. And then the Arvi, on Chalamoid you give four Aliyahs, so the Arvi lanes over by Yom HaSheni, by Yom HaShlishi, the Sveka de Yoyma. The Mechaber lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he quotes the Tosefta. The Tosefta says that on the first day Chalamoid in Eretz there is no Sveka de Yoyma. So the first day Chalamoid they lane by Yom HaSheni, so all four Aliyahs lane by Yom HaSheni. Everybody says the same by Yom HaSheni. He's working on, it doesn't get a little boring. He repeats the same thing. And L'chatchila, it's not right to include. See, on Simchas Torah, we always do like that. We lay over B'zayis HaBracha many times. So someone gets an Aliyah that was already read 5 times previously. They already did the 6th time they're laying B'zayis HaBracha. So on Shulchan Aruch it says, you can give an Aliyah, you can give a Haysofer, Psukim that were read already, you can make a Haysofer read over the same thing that you read before. But if you want that person to count as one of the minyan akruim, you need a minimum of 4 aliyahs on Chalamoid. Or on Shabbos, you need a minimum of 7 aliyahs. So you can't lay the whole sedra for the Kohen and the whole sedra for the Levi and the whole sedra for the Shlishi, even if everybody wants it. L'chatchila, it's not proper to count, to include in the minyan akruim someone is laying over something that was already laid before. So unless you have no choice. So the Mechaber holds that you have no choice. Mechaber quotes a Tosefta. That in Eretz Yisrael there is no Sveka de Yoyma. So in the first day Chalamoid, all the 4 Olam Latar are lain by Yom HaSheni. Everybody lains by Yom HaSheni. So the Mechaber writes that in Chutz La'aretz, when Mechaber holds, you can't lain tomorrow. You have no choice, you have to lain today. So when it's Balei's Breira, so you have to lain over the same thing 4 times. If you live in Chutz La'aretz, so then on the first day Chalamoid, the Kohen will lain by Yom HaSheni, the Levi will lain by Yom HaShlishi, the Shlishi will lay by Yom HaShein, and the Revi will lay by Yom HaShlishi. They lay over the same thing, everybody lays over the same thing. You can't lay tomorrow. So here the Mechaber is Lishitosa, that he holds that you can't lay what belongs to another day. Just like on Chalamoid Sukkos, you can't lay the Korbanos of the wrong day. So too over here, you can't lay the Chanukah Sanasiyim of a different day. You have to only lay that day. And the Ramos says not so. The Ramos says that the other Rabbi, you can learn from the other thing. That's a shaila if you have Americans who are learning in Eretz Yisrael. And in America, our practice is like the Ramos. So they're going to be in a shul in Eretz Yisrael. They're going to be in a shul, but they're going to do like the Mechaber, the Kriya of Chanukah. Everybody's gonna lay in the same thing. So our practice is that we don't do it like that. We lay tomorrow's. And we hold so that's the shadow. Maybe they should make their own minion. Maybe the Americans should make their own minion and they should lay in Kiminig America. Because according to our practice, we follow the Ramah. So we hold that it's not right to do like the Mechaber, that not oyle leminyan akruim, if you lay over the same thing that the previous oyle latorah laying on Simchas Torah, we do it all the time. But that's how Sofer. But here you're talking about the basic 3 aliyahs. So we hold whenever there was room to lay further, and the Ramah holds that you may lay tomorrow, you may lay the Vaita Dike Kriya. So then it's not right to count the person as one of the oylem to the minyan akruim if he's just repeating the same thing that the previous Halalah Torah line. On Sukkot, they do, what do they do on Hanukkah? Yeah. Some of they do like the Ramah. I don't know, I was never there on Hanukkah. Gotta find out. Anyway, the Chacham made a takana that you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah on Hanukkah. On Rosh Chodesh Hanukkah, the Gemara has a machlokes. You have to learn, you have to take out two Sefer Torah. When it falls out on a weekday, when it's Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh Hanukkah, it's a triple header, so you have to take out three Sefer Torah. You learn the Parshas HaShavua, and then you learn Rosh Chodesh, and then you learn Hanukkah at the end, and then the Haftarah is going to be for Shabbos Hanukkah. But if Rosh Chodesh falls out in the middle of the week, so it's a double header. So you take out two Sefer Torah, and you're supposed to learn from both. So the Gemara has a machlokes, which should you learn from first? Should you learn first from Rosh Chodesh? Give three aliyahs from Rosh Chodesh, then give the fourth aliyah. It's Rosh Chodesh, you need four aliyahs. The fourth aliyah should be Hanukkah, or should you say no? The first three aliyahs should be Hanukkah, and the fourth aliyah should be Rosh Chodesh. The Gemara comes to the conclusion in Megillah, the end of Megillah. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, Ein mashgichem shel Hanukkah. And Tosfos has an expression, Ein mashgichem shel Hanukkah kol iker. That Hanukkah is the less significant. So the first three aliyah should be Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth aliyah should be Hanukkah. And then Tosfos says, Ein mashgichem, Tosfos' expression is, in Shulchan Aruch they quote it, Ein mashgichem shel Hanukkah kol iker. What does that mean? That even, let's say, you forgot to take out two Sefer Torah. They only, on Rosh Chodesh Hanukkah, they forgot, they took out one Sefer Torah, they laid Pinchas, they gave four aliyahs, and they put back the Sefer to finish. They already gave four aliyahs. So the din is, you don't have to take out a second Sefer Torah in order to lain B'shal Hanukkah. Shai, you did Kriyas HaTorah, you lain four aliyahs B'shal Rosh Chodesh, that's good enough. The Mechaber says, what happens though, they took out two Sefer Torah, and they lained in the first Sefer Torah, they gave all the four aliyahs of Rosh Chodesh. And the Balka, they forgot that they're supposed to give three aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh, and the fourth aliyah is supposed to be B'shal Hanukkah. So the Gemara has a, the Mechaber quotes from the Gemara has a consideration. This case doesn't appear in the Gemara, but the considerations appear in the Gemara. If you take out two Sefer Torah, you're only going to learn from one, you're not going to learn from the other, so it looks as if the other one was possible. So, and on a normal day, you're not allowed to make Hoysofis. Only permissible to make Hoysofis on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On a regular Hanukkah, the regular Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the week, Rosh Chodesh got to give four aliyahs, but you're not allowed to make Hoysofis. People have to run to work. Even in Yeshiva, when no one's running to Seder, no one's rushing so much to the Seder. Still, that was the Takanas Chacham and Mishum Bitul Malacha. They should run to the Seder. So they shouldn't make Hoysofis. So here you have a problem. You gave all the four aliyahs B'shal Rosh Chodesh, but you took out the second Sefer Torah. So the Mechaber quotes from the Abu Dram, in such a case you have no choice. You have to make a fifth aliyah. You have to give a fifth aliyah to lay B'shal Chanukah. But by mistake, they only took out one Sefer Torah. There are many minyanim here. So every minyan is going to make another mistake, for sure. So one minyan is going to make a mistake, they're only going to take out one Sefer Torah and lain Parshas Pinchas, and they'll give four aliyahs. So that says in Mechaber, you don't, if you didn't give all the four aliyahs yet, you only gave three aliyahs, so take out another Sefer Torah, give the fourth aliyah in Parshas Nasai. But if you already gave all the four aliyahs, even though you didn't say Kaddish, you gave all the four aliyahs already, then you don't take out another Sefer Torah to make a fifth aliyah. The Shaila is, what happened, this, that doesn't come up that often, that mistake, that they only took out one Sefer Torah on Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, and they only lained B'shal Rosh Chodesh. That doesn't happen so often. What happens often is the reverse. They take out two Sefer Torah, then the Baal Kori made a mistake. He thought that you have to lane first the B'shal Chanukah, and then you lane B'shal Rosh Chodesh. So if he just opened up the Sefer Torah, and he realizes that this is Chanukah, so he closed the Sefer Torah, and you take the other one, lane the three aliyahs in Rosh Chodesh, and you lane Chanukah as the fourth aliyah. Normally we say you're not allowed to do that. You open the Sefer Torah, then you close it and you put it away. That's if you're not going to lane at all. Then there's a hashash pigam mishal rishon. They'll think the Sefer Torah is pogrom. They'll think that it's possible. Here we're putting it to the side. We're going to lane later. We're going to give the fourth aliyah. It's going to be from this Sefer Torah. So that's not a problem. The shaila is, what if they already started laning Bishal Chanukah? The Baal Kori didn't chap that he's supposed to give the first three aliyah. So this happens every Chanukah. There are 25 minyanim here, so it happens three minyanim are going to make a mistake, and each one is going to do a different psak. There are three different opinions what you do here. So we have Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. We have everything here in the yeshiva. So if the Balkari started to lay in the Shalchanike, so what should he do? So the Ramah quotes the Abu Dram. The Ramah paskins in the name of the Abu Dram that he should stop in the middle and he should put away that Sefer Torah. You made a mistake. Lay in three aliyahs in Shalva Shchodesh and then give the fourth aliyah to Shalchanike. And many Achrayim are not happy with that Ramah. They think we should not. The Tazan or the others, they're not so convinced that that's correct. They think that that's not right. That this is a din l'chatchila. Let's say a person is reciting Birchas HaMazon on Yontem Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. So first you say Ritzei, then you say Yalav Yovei. How did we decide to say first Ritzei, then Yalav Yovei? Because Torah B'Shein Torah, Torah Koidem. So Shabbos comes once a week and Yontem comes Shalosh Regolim, three times a year. A couple of times a year, but it doesn't come 52 times a year like Shabbos comes. So Torah B'Shein Torah, Torah Koidem, say Ritzei, then you say Yalav Yovei. What if by mistake the person first said Yalav Yovei, so what he already finished Yalav Yovei. So then you're going to say, yes, David, say, then repeat again Yalav Yovei. No, you already said Yalav Yovei. Whenever there's a Seder, the Seder is understood that it's only Lechatchila. But if he said Shaloi La Seder, the Seder is not Miyakev. Usually, Seder is not Miyakev. The Rambam says, the Rambam writes in the Tshuva, and it's quoted in Ebenezer and Shulchan Aruch, let's say under the Chuppah, he's supposed to say the seven brachas in a specific order. So a lot of times they don't tell the rabbis what they're up to. So they have different rabbis or different uncles saying different brachas, so they get mixed up. So they skip the bracha. So the din is that you don't have to go a la Seder. If you went out of order, so you just say the bracha that you missed and you go weiter. The Seder is not miyakim. That's a machlokes. Rashi and Tosfos, what about the Seder? Emtsoya Sein Lahem Seder. It says the first three brachas in the Shemana Esra, the last three brachas in the Shemana Esra, we have a Seder. And the brachas Emtsoya Mata Chayin until the end of Shemei Tvila Ein Lahem Seder. So Rashi learns, if you have all the pages of the Siddur fell apart and you can't figure out what comes first, what comes later, it's okay. Say it, Shalala Seder, and you yotze b'di'evit anyway. L'chatchila, you should say in the correct Seder, and b'di'evit, it's not miyak. We don't paskin like Rashi, we paskin like Tosfos. That the brachas and mitzvahs have to be ala Seder. The Seder is not miyak, it means if you made a mistake in Baruch Aleinu, and you said the same bracha, you're supposed to say the same talamatar, so you don't have to go back all the way to the beginning of Atachayin. Just go back to the bracha Baruch Aleinu and go from there to the end. That's what it means, Ein Lahem Seder. But it doesn't mean I'm already up to Balam Al Shinim, so I'll stick in Baruch Aleinu over there, and then I'll go back there. I'll say Balam Al Shinim. You can't say bracha Shalai Al Seder. That's how we pass. So that's the... So the Pashtus is not like this Ramah. Most Achrayim don't agree with the Ramah. Says they already lain, they took out two Sefer Torah. They lain by mistake in the first Sefer Torah and Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. They lain Bishel Chanukah. So the Ramah says you got to put away the Sefer Torah, stop in the middle, put away the Sefer Torah, take the second Sefer Torah, lain Bishel Rosh Chodesh first, three Aliyahs, and then lain Bishel Chanukah. So most don't agree with that. They said, what do you mean? He already started this. He said, he already started Yalav Yavah first before it say. So say Yalav Yavah, and then you say Ritzei afterwards. You'll be Yotze B'Di'evit. Let's say there's a Machlokes B'Sham and Misil. What's the correct Seder for Kiddush? Do you say first Bar Pi Agafen and then Kiddush? Bar Pi Agafen and then you say Avdolah? Or you say first Avdolah, first Kiddush, and then you say Bar Pi Agafen in the end, right before you're about to drink? So we pass him like Basilot, that he said Bar Pi Agafen in the beginning. What if a person makes a mistake and he says first Kiddush, then he says Bar Pi Agafen at the end? So B'Di'evit is Yotze Shalom Al HaSeder. The Seder is not Miyakev over there. To one related brachas. So most of the poskim hold over here, not like the Ramah. But they have a machlekes, so what should you do? The Balkar made a mistake. He started laning Michel Chanukah. He should have given the fourth aliyah, should have been Chanukah. And he gives the first aliyah. So some say, whatever Sefer Torah you're laning from first, Michel Chanukah, so give three aliyahs Michel Chanukah. There's never a Kriya Sartar less than three aliyahs. So you have to give three aliyahs Michel Chanukah, and give the fourth aliyah will be Michel Rosh Chodesh. And in most of the Paschim hold not so. That they only give one Aliyah B'Shal Chanukah, you don't give three. You never have Kriya Satorah less than three Aliyahs, but it does mean that all three Aliyahs have to be from the first Sefer Torah. So you give, by mistake you started learning Chanukah, should have been Chanukah, should have been the fourth Aliyah. So instead of the fourth, it'll be the first. So you give one Aliyah B'Shal Chanukah, you lay in the whole, let's say, the fifth day of Chanukah is going to be Rosh Chodesh. So you lay in the whole B'Yom HaMishi. You don't just lay in the first three psukim, give the whole B'Yom HaMishi, and then you stop at the end of B'Yom HaMishi, And then you put away that Sefer Torah, take out in the other Sefer Torah, you give it the three aliyahs, Bishon, Rosh Chodesh. We'll have all three possibilities.
What was the question? What you should put on study? I mean, Rosh Chodesh is study. So why was there ever a question about what
the Gemara has a machlek is because of Pirsum and Nisa. Because Kriya of Chanukah is something special. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, Ein Mashgiach Mishal Chanukah. The Chanukah comes second. And then Tosfos had the Giras, Ein Mashgiach Mishal Chanukah Kol Iker. That even if you left it out in Gansin, you didn't lane at all, also Nishgefelach. Then, of course, the most popular mitzvah on Chanukah is the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. This is a question, when was the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah instituted by the Tanoim? It was instituted Bizman HaTalmud by the Tanoim, that's for sure. Mishnayos talk about the Tanoim and Bava Kamma. They talk about Madlak Ner Chanukah outside, and he calls the Sreifa, Zichai, Vizinat, Chahidlik, Bishus. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over a suggestion that he attributed to the Avnei Nezer, and it doesn't appear in the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer, but he, apparently that's what he heard in Europe, that the Sachet Shavu Rebbe suggested that maybe the Takana of Hadlokas HaMenorah was instituted after the Churban Bayis Sheni Zecher LeMikdash. Not that it was instituted Bizman HaBayis Zecher LeNes, but rather after the Churban HaBayis Zecher LeMikdash. No. It doesn't make that much of a difference. It's anyway going to be zecher to the hadlok and the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says that women are obligated to light Ner Chanukah to the same extent that men are obligated. Afin hoy b'yosan nes, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah seser shas magrama women are mechuyev. A kotten is mechuyev mitam chinuch. There's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Can a kotten be madlik to be motzi a gadol? Because the chiyev of the gadol is only with the rabbanon. Let's say the Mishnah Berurah writes, let's say the husband is away on a business trip and he doesn't come home for Shabbos. So the wife feels uncomfortable reciting Kiddush. European women felt uncomfortable. When the wife says her own Kiddush, that means that she's an almana. So the women always dreaded that, the day that they'll have to say their own Kiddush. They didn't want to say Kiddush. So she has a little child who's before Bar Mitzvah. So he cannot say Kiddush to be Motzi the mother. Mother is mechuyev kiddush ben atar. The child is only a higil achinuch. It's only mechuyev kiddush ben the rabbanon. So he can't say kiddush to be mitzi the mother. So the mother has no brera. The father is away on a business trip, so the mother has to say her own kiddush. What about over here? Let's say father is away on a business trip, and the mother feels uncomfortable lighting her own menorah. So can the child who is higil achinuch, can he be madlik the menorah to be mitzi the mother? So this is a machlokes in Rishonim. What's the shaila? Because the Kotten is Mechuyim and the Rabbanon, and the Gadol is only Mechuyim and the Rabbanon. So maybe he's called Mechuyim B'dover, it can be Motziya Sacher Midechoy Vosan, and maybe I should say no. The Kotten is only a trade the Rabbanon, whereas the Gadol and Barachad the Rabbanon, so maybe the Kotten is not on the same level of Chiyav as the Gadol. So that's a big Machlokes, whether a Kotten can be Motziya Gadol. What about a Summa? Is a Summa Chayim? So it says a Summa does not recite Bar Mi'ori Ho'esh when he says Havdolah, because he doesn't see the aura. He doesn't see the aura there. So the Magen Avraham quotes a tshuva from the Marshal, does the Sumer have a chiyuv to be madlik Neres Chanukah because he doesn't see? So the tshuva's Marshal quoted by the Magen Avraham says, yeah, the Sumer doesn't see, but the people in the street can see. So he's mechuyev to light. How's he going to light and make a sreifa? He should have someone light for him, a gadol. He can't have a cotton light for him, that's a machlokes. He should have his wife light for him, or he should figure out on his own how he's going to light somehow. So the pashtus in the Magen Avraham and the Tshuvas Marshal is, in the Prima Gadim, the pashtus is that the Summa is chayva like everybody else, even though he doesn't see, but everybody else can see. Comes the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetev. So the Behetev quotes the synopsis of the Marshal. Then the Shari Tshuva writes on the side, the Rabbi Yankif Emden writes in the Sefer Merak Tzia, that of course it's self-understood. It goes without saying that the Summa doesn't say a bracha. Why doesn't he say a bracha? Because he doesn't see the Ner. That's exactly what the Marshal said, that it's wrong. That the Ner Havdalah he doesn't see, so he can't say Bar Mi'Aresh. Eim Avrocham ala Ner Asheyei Yosula Oro. So if you can't see, so you don't say Bar Mi'Aresh. But on Ner Chanukah, you don't have to see the Ner. As long as the Bnei Rishu Saramasi, you're accomplishing Pesumei Nisan. Rabbi Akivenda turns everything upside down. He considers it as fake the Dina. So the Mishnah Brewery goes along with the Shari Tshuva, quoted this from Rabbi Yankif Emden, from the Merk Tzir. So he goes along. So he says, the Summa, if it boils down to this, the Summa lives by himself. If he's married, has a wife. So the wife is Mukhit to say, to be madlik with brothers. If he lives with his parents, then the parents are going to be madlik. What's the problem? If he lives all by himself, so then he says that the Summa shouldn't say a bracha. You have to be concerned about this error of Rabbi Yankov Fendi.
I would say that it should be like the side of the sense of the Gula, that whether he's drawing them in the Oros, but then the Gemara says, what about the club, what in the top club, the Isak, he bear the Rosh Hashanah Tzaran, and then so the Gemara continues with the Agat, this is someone of Moshe that he might be blind, but he says a torch, so that other people can meet him. So that the same thing should be here, that
he lights a Neris Chanukah and the public can see. That's what the Marshal says. That's all the posts until Rabbi Yankov Emden. That's what they all say. And then he had a printing press. Rabbi Yankov Emden was a printer for him. So he printed his own Svarim also. Not only did he print other people's Svarim, he printed his own Svarim. So at a deference to Rabbi Yankov Emden, so the Mishnah Berurah also goes along with that. He says that Suma should leave out the Brach. What about a Ger? Ger is mechuyev in all the mitzvahs. The question is, hakni sirshah san nisim la'vaseina b'yamamayim b'zman hazeh. So that's a machlokes in the Mishnah Bikurim. So the Mishnah says the ger should not say shasan nisim la'vaseina. He should say shasan nisim la'vos yisrael b'yamamayim b'zman hazeh. And the Rambam paskins like Reb Yehuda's opinion in Yerushalmi. The Mishnah says the ger cannot say la'vaseina. When the ger davish manesu, he can't say la'keinu la'kei avaseina. He has to say la'keinu la'kei avos yisrael. And the Rambam in the Tshuva, and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, Paskins like the other opinion in Tanoim, that Avram was called Avham Mongoyim, and all in Yitzchak and Yankov as well, even though there's no Pasuk explicitly in Chumash. All the others are the others of all of Klal Yisrael, including the Gerim. So that not only Avram, Yitzchak and Yankov, the Nes Chanukah didn't occur in the days of Avram, Yitzchak and Yankov, it occurred later. But the Gerim can still say Shos and Nisim Lavasein. So that's the accepted Psak in Shulchan Aruch. What if a person is so poor, he simply can't afford to have a menorah? So he goes around and he begs money in order to eat food. Is he mechuyev to beg in order to get money to be matlik as a menorah? So normally the din is that a person is not, amavazuz alivazuz yasim mechemish, a person is not, there are more paskin hilchas lulav, as well as in Yeridah Simen Kuf Nun Zayin, that one is not obligated to spend more than one-fifth of his total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. In order not to violate a loy saseh, he has to give away kol hom deso. Rama Paskin has to give away his last penny not to violate an avera. But in order to fulfill a mitzvah, he's not obligated to spend more than one-fifth. So if he doesn't have any money to be madrig samanera, not mechuyev. You don't have, you're not mechuyev. So here, the Rambam says not so. The Rambam says you have to be chozer al apsachim. You have to go beg for extra money. You mechuyev to do these mitzvahs that are l'shem consuming nisa mikra megillah. Mikra megillah, he doesn't have to spend money. He just goes to the shul. But let's say they charge a fee, entrance fee. They don't let you go to shul unless you have to buy a ticket to hear mikra megillah, and it costs $10. He doesn't have any money. So he's mechuyev to go rob a bank or whatever, get some money. He has to go schnorr $10 in order to hear mikra megillah. So Mikra Megillah and Haseba and Arba Kaisas and Ner Chanukah, because it's for the sake of Pisumi Nisa, so this restriction of Hamavaz Ha'avaz Yes Mechamish doesn't apply. I remember Rav, that's how the Magen Mishnah writes on the Rambam. That's apparently what the Svara is. I remember Rav Soloveitchik was explaining what the Pshat is. He said, whenever we perform a mitzvah that's for the sake of Pisumi Nisa, so we are implying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like in the past, he did Nisim for the Jewish people, he should continue to do Nisim in the future as well. So we're sort of, we're begging him that he should continue to show his mercy on us. We ask him to do Nisim. So we're asking him to go out of his way to change the whole world. He made Chuki HaTeva. We ask him to change the Chuki HaTeva on our behalf. And we're not prepared to go out of our way to spend more than Chaimish. So he said, normally a person should live with Cheshman, a person should live within his means. He should dress properly if he can't afford it. So you don't wear such flashy clothes, and you don't have a television. You can't afford. But when it comes to a mitzvah pisumi nisa, you're implying that Kodesh Baruch Hu should go out of his way in order to do nisim for us. So we better go out of our way to show that we're prepared to go extra. So then we can apply that he should do extra. Anyway, that's a din of Shulchan Aruch, that Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is such an important mitzvah, but the Rambam calls it mitzvah chaviva hi miyod, and even an oni hamachazer al hapsachim has to ask for extra tzedakah in order to be able to be madlikas on there. Then the Braisa has a Masechah Shabbos in the sugya of Chanukah that the Chachamim introduced three levels of Hadlokah. Because the Iker mitzvah is Neri Shebeso, Yoytze, if you have one candle lit for the whole family every night of Chanukah, first night, second night, one Neri Shebeso, then a Mahadrim have Ner Lechalechad V'yechad, and the Mahadrim and a Mahadrim are either Moisef HaHoylech HaPerch as well, depending on the Bishama and the Bisul. Yeah, why? What motivated the Chachamim to introduce over here a Takana that has Mahadrim and Mahadrim and a Mahadrim? It's a very unusual. You don't have it in other mitzvahs. You have Hida mitzvah and all the mitzvahs. What's happening over here? It seems as if from day number one they instituted it, that there should be Hidurim and Hidurim on top of Hidurim. So there's a famous comment that the Pnei Yeshua has on that Gemara. He quotes the Kasha from the Chacham Tzvi. Why was there a need for the Nes at all? The din is that Tumah is Mutar B'Tzibur. If you have a Korban Shezmana Kavua, it doesn't really depend on Korban Yochid versus Korban Tzibur. It really depends on Korban Shezmana Kavua versus Korban Shein Zmana Kavua. 97% of the time, Korban Tzibur is Manam Kavua. 97% of the time, Korban Yochid is Ein Zmana Kavua. Once in a while, you have a Korban Yochid that is Mana Kavua. That the Par Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur, he pays for it, he offers it, but it's Zmana Kavua. He has to bring it on Yom Kippur. Or the Chavita Kain Gadol that he brings every day of the year. It's a private carbon that he brings, but that's a carbon that's Zmana Kavua. It's not 97%, it's 90%. Okay, you got to take it back. 90% of the Karbanos Yachad are not Zmana Kavua, but you have 10% of them are. 98% of Karbanos Sibur are Zmana Kavua. When do you have a carbon Sibur which is Zmana Kavua? You hardly ever have that. So that kid doesn't have to be brought today. That can be brought any day. So the rule is, that's how the Mishnah says the beginning of the second parak in Tmura. It doesn't really depend. It's a little bit a misnomer. It's not Menduyak. He say the Tumah is Mutar B'Tzibur. It doesn't really depend. Rav Meir says in the Mishnah, it doesn't really depend on Tzibur versus Yochid. It really depends on Korban Shezmana Kavua versus Korban Shein Zmana Kavua. But Hadlokas Hamadeira is Zmana Kavua. Every day you have to light the menorah. So the din is, if you only have Shemen that's Tomei and you don't have Shemen Tohar that's available, so you're permitted to be Madlik with Shemen Tomei. So what do they need the whole miracle for? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make a miracle? We have a rule that Rabban Shalom doesn't go out of his way to change Teva unnecessarily, unless there's really a great Tzorach. What was the Tzorach over here? So there are various suggestions given to answer the Kasha. The Pri Chodesh gives a Teretz that really depends on Taisvis over here. The Gemara says that the Yevonim entered the Heichal and they were metame all the containers of oil. How exactly were they metame the containers of oil? So Taisvis says they're not sure. Taisvis is not sure. There is a din with the Rabbanon that Akum a metame kizav. A Nochri, if you touch a Nochri, you become tame as if you touched a Zav. What motivated the rabbis to Menator the Nochri is not tame at all till he dies. When he dies, he's Tommy Ames. Ames is Matami. Maybe he's not Matami as much as Ames Yisroel. Maybe only Ames Yisroel and Matami Bo'ol. Maybe Ames Yakim and Anta. It's a Lipas. Ames Yakim and Rolim Matami B'Makim and Masa. Not Matami Bo'ol. Because Man the Nochri is alive, he doesn't have any tumor. He's not Matami B'Ziva. So what motivated the Chachamim to introduce this tumor? So we understand very well. The Gemara says, because they were involved in homosexuality. And the rabbis were afraid that they're going to involve the little Jewish children and their to'evas. So they told the children, if you touch a goy, you'll become tummy. Every goy in the world is a zav. So you're not allowed to touch a goy. If you touch a goy, you have to go to mikveh. So they stayed away from the goy. This is Bizmana Talmud, that people were medakte kantumah v'tar. If a person would be tummy, he couldn't eat truma, he couldn't eat korbanos, couldn't enter the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. So it was relevant, Bizmana Tanai. Today, the whole thing is irrelevant. What are you going to say? You become tummy. Everybody's tummy anyway. We go to funerals. Everybody's tummy anyway. So Taisus is not sure when was that Gzeirah de Rabbanan introduced, that the Akam HaMetamik Kizav, was that introduced before the story of Chanukah? So that's how the Yevonim were metame all of the containers of oil, because the Zav is metame behesed. So if the Zav would handle the container of oil, it would be metame all oil inside. Or maybe we should assume that that Zera de Rabbanan, that Akma Metame like Azav, was instituted some later time, And the tumah was because they had a war going on. They had dead bodies all over the place. That Goyisha dead bodies, Jewish dead bodies. So maybe it was a tumas meis that the Tanoim were concerned about. What happened there? That they said timu kol ashmanim shebeichol. What was the tumah? So the Prichadosh is assuming this is a historical suffix. Tosis is not sure. The Prichadosh assumes that the tumah was tumas zav, that there were goyza that akum has a din like a zav. And the Prichadosh says that tumas muta betzibur akavim shezmanakav was only tumas meis. It doesn't apply to tumas zivo. Doesn't apply to tumas zivo. So the later Achrayim asked, what's he talking about? Tosis writes the Feirish. There's a Mishnah in the end of Pesachim that says a Pesach haba betumah lo yochel memena zavin a mitzarayim a nidus a boyle nidus. Only one who has a tumas maga is permitted to eat. Whoever has a tumah yotzal lemigufa is not allowed to eat. The halacha recognizes that two levels of tumah. There's a tumah that develops in the body that's called tumah yotzal lemigufa, and then there's a tumah that comes mibachutz. I touch a maize, I touch a dead sheretz, and so on. I touch a nido, so that's a tumas maga. So the din is that tumas muta betzibur, Taisus says, is only tumas magor, not tumah yotzal megufay. But over here, the shemen doesn't have a tumah yotzal megufay. The shemen became nitma because it was touched by a zav, by a nochri, his dinik zav. So it's vaita tumas magor. So what is the Prichadosh talking about? It doesn't make any sense. All the Achrayim say, Prichadosh made a mistake. He forgot a nochri in a Taisus. So the Netziv writes, Prichadosh didn't make a mistake. The Rambam disagrees with Taisus. If you look in the Rambam, the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. The Rambam holds that only tumas meis, but a maga hazav is beferish, like the Pichodesh said. Maga hazav is not muta betzibum. Only maga hameis and maga hasheretz and so on. So according to if you hold like the Rambam and you assume that the gzera de rabbanon that akma metamik hazav was instituted before the story of Chanukah occurred a little more than 200 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Churban Bayis Sheni was approximately the year 70. I'm not sure exactly. That's what it says in the Goyish history books. So the Gemara says it was 202 years before that or something that the victory of the Chashmonaim occurred. So that's the question. Had they already instituted the Tumas Zav or not? So that's one suggestion that the Pichodesh gives, which is based on the Rambam. According to Tosfos, that's not a valid suggestion. Other Rishonim give a different answer. The Gemara says the Chashmonaim made a new menorah. The Gemara says the Chashmonaim made a new mizbeach also. They had to make a new menorah. So the Mishnah says in Menachos, whenever you make a new klisharis, the first time you do the avoda, avodasim mechan chosim, you have to be mechanechet. So the Azikainim in Bali Ateis suggest this teretz in the commentary on Chumash. And a few Achrayim write it independently also, and then they finally realize that it says in Dazikanim that when they say that Tumas Muta Betzibur, that's if the menorah had already been Ischanech, and then one fine day they only have Shemen Tomi, they don't have Shemen Tor. So then the din is that the Tumas Muta and a Korban Shazmanakov who have Lokas HaMenorah is like Akrovas HaKorban, and you have to light the menorah every day. If it's going to be over Yom HaBotel Korban, if you're going to miss a day, you won't be able to have Tashlumin. So if the only shaman that's available is shaman tummy, you have no choice. You're permitted to be madlik the menorah betumah. Here we're talking, they made a new menorah. They had to be machanach, the new menorah. So the chinach menorah cannot be made in a state of tumah. Why not? What's the hezber? Why not? So the pashtus, the hezber is the following. If you have a menorah that's already nischanech, then you mechuyif to be madlik the menorah every single day. But if you have let's say you have a mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash, but I didn't build it yet. So there is no mitzvah when to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's the earliest available opportunity. So here you have a menorah, they made a menorah, but they weren't mechanachid yet. Kozman, they're not mechanachid, so there is no mitzvah to be madlik the menorah. So the first hadlok is going to be boyin keachas. It's going to be avodasa mechan chasa. The hadlok rishayna is going to serve as the chinuch for the menorah, and from that time on, there'll be an absolute chiyuv to be madlik the menorah every day. But the first time he does the halacha, he can't say that it's zman kavua. The halacha says he's mechuyev to be mechanach the menorah today. Mechuyev to be mechanach the menorah, the earliest available opportunity. Who says that it's today? But that's not called zman kavua. The chinuch is like binyan beis hamikdash. Binyan beis hamikdash is not derech Shabbos. Akrabas akarbonus is zman kavua. The karbonus have to be offered every day, so that's derech Shabbos. Binyan beis hamikdash is not derech Shabbos. Why? The first available opportunity. So you don't build it on Shabbos. Shabbos is not an available opportunity. Don't be mechal Shabbos to build it. So the same over here. The korbanos akore betume, if the menorah was already nischanach, let's say you have a mizbeach. So if the mizbeach was nischanach already, then you mechuyev to be makrib korbanos every day on the mizbeach. Tamidim, umusafim, and so on. If the mizbeach was adayin lo nischanach, so to be mechanech, the mizbeach is like building it. That's like the mitzvah binya beis hamikdash. So that you can't call zman kavu. So these are terutzim that some give. So the Pnei Yeshua quotes this kasha from the Chacham Tzvi. Why was there a need for the whole miracle in the first place? Why did Rabbi Shalom do a miracle? The din is that the Rabbi Shalom doesn't make miracles unnecessarily. He's not going to change teva unnecessarily. And here the halacha says that hadlachas havanera is like a korban shezmanu kavua, so it's dechet tuma. So why didn't they bring it in the state of tuma? So he answered to the Pnei Yeshua, quotes the kasha, and he gives the following answer. He says, you're right, but if you bring korbanos in the state of tuma, it's a lower level of a korban. The Gemara has a machlekes in Yuma Davov, machlekes samaroim, then it comes out it's really a machlekes satanoim, whether tuma is duchuya betzibah or tuma is hucha betzibah. What's the nature of the heter? So the Rambam paskins that it's only dechuya. But even if one would assume that it's hucha betzibah, but still, if you bring a korban in the state of tahara, it's a higher level of korban. It's a much more mehudadika korban than a korban that's bought in the state of tuma. Even if you hold that it would have been hucha, we happen to paskin that it's dechuya. So the Pnei Yeshua says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nes to show chibosam shal Yisrael. He loves us so much. We could have done the hadlokas hamanor in the state of tuma. But he showed his love for the Jewish people so much, he wanted to make a miracle to enable us to fulfill the mitzvah, bihidura, bizmana, right away. So he suggests that maybe that's what motivated the Tanoim when they instituted, whenever they instituted, either Shana Shnia, or after the Churban Bayis Sheni 200 years later, whenever they instituted the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah, they instituted with Mahadrin and with Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, because the whole ness of Chanukah was in order that we should be able to be Mahajim. We could have done the Hadlaka without a Hidur, using Shem and Tomei, but the Rabbanu Shlom made the Nes to enable us to do the mitzvah in a Mehudadika fashion. So that's why, since the whole Nes was in order to do the mitzvah, the Hidura, so that's what motivated the Tanoim to introduce Hidurim and Hidurim on top of Hidurim in connection with the mitzvah of Hadlaka Samadar Bim Yuchad, special. So the shaila here is, what's the first hidur? Ne'er l'chol lechol yechol, what's that hidur? So this is a big machlokes, the Rambam in the Bali Atosus. Somehow his people didn't read the Rambam carefully till the middle 1800s. Then they all woke up and they realized the Rambam didn't say what they thought. The Ashkenazim never had, the Sfardim who followed the Rambam, they always did like that. But the Ashkenazim never realized what's going on there by the Sfardim. So the Beis Halevi and the Galya Masechta both lived about the same time. They both in the late 1800s. So they both point out the same thing. That the Ramam Shita is Ne'er L'Cholechad V'Yechad means that the Balabayis, a man is married, so you have the husband and the wife and they have 10 children. So the husband lights 12 candles every night. Not Ne'er L'Cholechad V'Yechad means every member of the household lights his own menorah. Everyone lights one candle. No. One person is lighting a menorah for the whole household. Instead of lighting the Neri Shabesa, one candle every night, the Balabais lights 12 candles every night because he's married, he has one wife. Sometimes he has five wives, okay. The Sfardim have five wives and 50 children, okay. So he'll light the 55 wives and 50 children, is 56, okay. So light 56 candles every night. The Ramah quotes from the Balei HaTosfos. Now that's not what it means, Ne'elech Alech V'Yechod. Mikiradin Yoyotzin Neri Shabesa, one there for the whole household. And then the Mahadrin is that everybody lights their own menorah, that we treat it as if it were a Chayvus HaYochid. What do you mean treat it as if you were? We should say Kol HaKodim Zocha. Whoever lights first is Motzi the all of Bnei Bayis. Everyone is Yotzi already. So how can I light my own menorah later and say a bracha? Isn't it a bracha l'matola? I was Yotzi the mitzvah already. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Maharil who says no. When the first person lights, and all the other members of the household have in mind that they plan to light their own, so they have kavanah shelo lotzeis. So they're not yotzei with the first one's hadlokah. So if they're not yotzei, so now the din requires that they have to do their own hadlokah. That's how it works. The mahadrin is that you should have in mind not to be yotzei with the hadlokah of the first one. So if you're not yotzei with the hadlokah, so memeli you mukhiv to light on your own. We treat it as if it were a chayvus hayachid.
Is it also for Sri Nisa? So there's more for Sri Nisa if they light again? So it's something that's also.
But the question is, let's say, at the time that the father of the household lived, everybody had in mind that they're going to be Yotze. And then later on, we thought that we're very poor. Then later on that evening, we find out we just won the Irish sweepstakes, and we won $1 million. And the first thing we want to do is, we want to have Ne'er L'chalach V'yavet. Can you do that the first night? Then when the father lit the menorah, everyone had in mind they're going to be Yotze. So do you say, Mahadrin, there's a Kiyum Ne'er L'chalach V'yavet? They say no. So the Maril claim, the Magen Avraham quotes the Maril, says no. The Yisoid of Ne'er L'chalach V'yavet, the way we practice it, the Maril is saying within Minig Ashkenaz, that each person in the household lights his own menorah, says on bracha. That's only if he had in mind initially, when the first one lit, he had in mind Kavanah Shalom Lotzis. But if he didn't have in mind Kavanah Shalom Lotzis, he was Yotze already. So how can he light with a bracha later on? It will be a bracha Levatola. One can argue with the Mariel. You want to argue with the Mariel, there's room to disagree. But that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Maharil. No chinuch, no chinuch.
So
they should sing, they should eat latkes, and they should sing Moos Sur with him. There's no chinuch, they don't do anything with Tam chinuch. They should be there when he lights, to hear the brachas.
Yeah, but then why light so? Oh.
Just light in accordance with how many members of the household there are. Yeah, the Ashkenazim follow the Balei HaTesis. So the Balei HaTesis understood like the Maril was an Ashkenazi. So they're understanding, they're luch alechad yechad, each member of the household lights his own menorah. So that's a shadow. Do you say mitam chinuch, you should be mechanach the children to light a kot, should he light his own menorah? Or do you say, no, that's only if he's a gadol. Then you say, ne'eloch alecha v'yechad. So there's a stira in the Magen Avraham in two places. And the ma'isa, the minig, I think, in most places is that the children who are higil chinuch do light their own menorah. You don't say that the chinuch only applies to the Ikka Mitzvah. There's no chinuch on the Mahadrin. Usually there is chinuch on the Mahadrin.
What's the point of lighting 12 candles in your house if it's the first night of Hanukkah? I mean, people are going to be really confused.
That's how the Rambam read the Gemara. That's how the Sfardim do all the time. They don't get confused. They know what they're doing. The whole purpose of the Hadlokas HaMenorah is
no,
to...
I mean, if you assume that it's not just the people in the house, but also the people outside,
so they'll figure out how many members of the household there are.
But then you can get confused on the third day of Hanukkah.
Okay. Tosis is worried about that. People are going to get confused. They won't know which day of Hanukkah. The Rambam is not worried about that. They won't know which day of Hanukkah it is. Apparently, you're asking what's the purpose of what do you gain by that? So apparently, the whole idea of Hadlokas Ner is Hanukkah. Al Pesach Besame Bachutz is to prevent the secular influence from the street, the Hellenistic influence, from penetrating the house. So then, and we want to light according to how many members of the household there are to preserve our full family, to preserve the whole household.
So the adding candles,
that's Mahadrim and a Mahadrim. That's another thing. Mahadrim and a Mahadrim is another thing. So the Rambam's opinion is that Mahadrim and a Mahadrim doesn't go back on Mahadrim. If I have a husband and a wife and 10 children, I light 12 candles, the first night 12 candles, the second night 12 candles, the third night, and so on. If I want to do Mahadrim and a Mahadrim, so then the Rambam says that, how does he write, the first night you light, there are two versions over here, whether the first night you light 12, the second night you light 24, the third night you light 36. So no, once you're doing Mahadrim and Mahadrim, you forget about the Ne'er L'chalach V'yechad. So those are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, two practices. And we follow Ashkenazim, follow Tosis, that the Ramah, the Ne'er L'chalach V'yechad, each person lights his own menorah.
So you see that the Mahadrim and Mahadrim becomes out of the Tamei oil, and they chose not to. They use regular oil. Isn't one of the famous answers, one of the famous answers why it is because they only put in an eighth amount of oil that they would need, lasted for the whole time, so was that much to do
with? That's a kasha. The Beis Yosef gives that suggestion, and then the Achrayim are bothered with that kasha. How are you allowed to do that in the first place? If you think you only have enough oil for one night, so you don't accomplish anything if you divide it in eight and you only put in one eighth every night. So you're not Yetzi anything.
If they cleared out the time, especially, would you allow to
use? Not allowed to do that. That's what they ask on the teretz of the Beis Yosef. That's a very strong caption.
Which says the oil has to go
Chazor al-Apsachim.
Does that mean the person has to give everything kolhan beisa to light the candles?
Yeah, that's what they said. You have to give a kolhan beisa to light the candles. Yeah, not for the mahadran, for the beisa candle, for one there. Yeah. There is a question here, if one observes the mahajan, that ne'aluch alechot v'yechot, so what about a married couple? Do you say that the husband should light his own menorah, the wife should light her own menorah, or do you say no? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ramah, who writes in his commentary on the bottom of the tour in the Darkei Moshe, that since we have a klal that ishta kegufoi, so it's considered as if the husband and the wife are one. So let's say the husband will light a menorah, and then 2 hours later, when the menorah goes out, he'll light another menorah and say another bracha. It's a bracha of Altala. He was ready yaitse. So if the husband lights a menorah, then his wife is going to light her own menorah. She'll light first, and the husband will light second. Whoever lights first is moitzi, the husband and the wife. It's ishta kegufoi. Whoever lights second is like the same person lighting twice. That's what the Ramah writes. That's what the Mishnah Berurah goes along with that. Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't understand what that means. The din ishta kegufa is a din and kreivim psulim la'edus. That my wife's cousins, ishta kegufa, are puzzled to me and I'm puzzled to them. But let's say the husband eats korban pesach, so the wife can't eat korban pesach. Husband hears the Megillah, so the wife doesn't have to bother hearing the Megillah. Husband says a bracha when he hears tkiyah shofar. Then the wife wasn't in shul, so she can't say a bracha on tkiyah shofar because ishta kegufa, she was yotze ready. There is no such thing. You never say ishta kegufa, so what's up this all of a sudden here? Ishta kegufa is a klal in kroivim psulim la'edus. The din is that one is only yotze neres chanukah if you light babayis. If you light bebeis haknesses, nobody's yotze, but the mechaber writes that the minig is shemadlikim bebeis haknesses, it's a minig, it's not a din. Madlikim bebeis haknesses, mishum pirsuminis. What is that all about? So the Achronim give three explanations. The Rishonim give Rishonim Achronim gave three explanations. Look in the Beis Yosef, he quotes Rishonim. So some say, because the Beis HaKnesses is a Migdosh Miyat, and there used to be Madlik, the menorah in the Beis HaMigdosh, so the minig developed that we light in the Migdosh Miyat. Zechel HaMigdosh. Others say no, that the Gemara says you only recite Kiddush B'Mokam Sudah. So how come we recite Kiddush in Shul? And the last parak, the Msachim, the Gemara says, so the Gemara says because there are Orchim who eat and sleep in the Shul. So for them it's Kiddush B'Makom Sudah. So for those Orchim who used to eat and sleep in Shul, so they used to light the menorah in order to be yotze. That was Nerishat Beisah, that was their bias. And today we still continue to say Kiddush in Shul because it was initially a takana. The reason for the takana was that there were Orchim, and even if his mother said there are no Orchim, we still follow the practice, and that's where this came from. And then the third explanation that the Vilna Gaon gives is that no, that even forget about Orchim, forget about the Migdash Miyat, that since the whole purpose of Hadlokas Neres Chanukah is to accomplish Pisumi Nisa, and if you're light and sure when you daven Betzibus, you're going to have, by definition, you're going to have a minyan there. So since you have a minyan, there's more Pisumi Nisa, so the minig developed that a mitzvah that's a chaybis ayachid, that's for the purpose of Pisumi Nisa, will accomplish more Pisumi Nisa if you do Betzibur. So we do it Betzibur Shel Tfilo. As the Moshul, the Vilna Gaon gives the Moshul that we recite Hallel, El Pesach and Shul after Ma'ariv. He says the Ikas Man of Hallel is in the middle of the Haggadah. Half of the Hallel before the meal, half of the Hallel after the meal. The second and the third Kaisis, the second and the fourth Kaisis of the Arba Kaisis are the first half of Hallel, the second half of Hallel. So the minhag developed, the Vilna Gaon says that since the purpose of the Hallel, El Pesach is Pisumi Nisa, so we recite Hallel and Shul after Ma'ariv and El Pesach to accomplish more pisaminis. So the same over here. That's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, that those people that light a menorah in Central Park or Times Square, he thought that that's l'chol ha'deis, that's not right. It's the Rishonim say either you madlik the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha because Migdash Miyat, so that's only a Beis HaKnesses, that's Migdash Miyat, or because you have the Orchim who stay in the shul, so that's in the Orchim who stay in the shul, it doesn't apply in the middle of the street, or because the Tzibur Shel Tfilo, that's what he thought, the third shot, the Tzibur Shel Tfilo. He was insistent, they quote again Rabbi Yankiv Hemden. Rabbi Yankiv Hemden says that if it's getting late on Friday afternoon and they didn't show up for Mincha, so the Chazan should bench Chanukah Lich before Mincha. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik thought that that's Brochel of Atola. You're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. If it's going to turn out you're going to be madlik after Shkia, so you don't have to be madlik. But he said there is no minik to be madlik before Mincha. You have to be madlik dafke in between Mincha and Ma'ariv. or in shul you usually madlig in between mincha and ma'ariv, or even a matzoi Shabbos that you madlig after ma'ariv. So he said you should be madlig before you say kaddish tiskabel. Or even if you madlig, our meaning is that we madlig the menorah after kaddish tiskabel, but we madlig before we say havdalah and shul. So we still have the tziruf atzibur. But to be madlik on Erev Shabbos before you daven mincha and shul, the tzibur wasn't even the tzarif yet. They didn't combine together. That was his lashon. If you have 10 people reading the Morgen Journal, 10 people reading the Jewish newspaper, that's not called the tzibur. That's not called the minyan. A minyan is when they're in the tzarif for a davish abigdusha. If they daven mincha together, then you have a tzirif at tzibur. So then you can say, oh, the tzibur becomes mechuy mitam minik to be madlik and menorah. So he thought that it wasn't right. The Gedolim also thought it's not right to be madlik in Times Square, in Central Park with a bracha. There never was such a minig, and they thought it should be considered a bracha levatola. In the Beis Hamikdash, every day they used to bring the Tamash al Bein Abayim, and only after the Tamash al Bein Abayim, they used to be madlik the menorah. So by us, that's what we always do. We always daven mincha, and then we madlik the menorah at night. The shayla is on Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, we madlik the menorah before we go to shul. So usually daven mincha in shul. So you madlik the menorah before mincha. So that's what the Shari Tshuva quotes from the Birkei Yosef, from the Chidah, who's the Chidah was a Sfardi. He quotes from the Sfardish in the Kabbalim this idea that on Erev Shabbos, when we're lighting before the Shkia, we should try to daven mincha before the parallel of the Seder and the Beis Hamikdash. To have first the Tamash al Bein Abayim, mincha is mechumim keneged Tamash al Bein Abayim, and only have the hadlaka afterwards. So they quote in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that if you did like that, if you daven mincha, if you didn't do like that, if you didn't, usually the misnagdim are not makbid. The chsidim are makbid for this because it comes from the Birkei Yosef, from the Kubbalim. So chsidim are makbid to daven mincha before, and then they light the Neris Chanukah. Well, let's say the regular misnagdim, that they madlik the menorah, then they go to shul and they daven mincha. It's Erev Shabbos, or let's say this year Erev Shabbos, or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said a chiddush, you should say Ala Nisim in mincha, because you already did that, even though it's not Chanukah yet. Erev Shabbos is not Chanukah yet, but since you already did the hadlaka, so you should say Ala Nisim. Where did you get it from? You got it from the Rishonim say on Leil Purim. We daven Ma'ariv on Leil Purim. And our practice is we say Ala Nisim in the Shemana. So then we read the Megillah later. So many Geonim had the practice that you don't say Ala Nisim on Purim until after you read the Megillah. So if you daven Ma'ariv before, like normal, you daven Ma'ariv first, then you read the Megillah, you don't say Ala Nisim till the morning, because you already read the Megillah at night. If you didn't daven by mistake, you heard the Megillah first, then you're going to daven Ma'ariv later, so then you say Ala Nisim in Ma'ariv. So that's what Shlomo Zalman suggested over here, that for the Misnagdim who don't follow this practice, they're going to light the menorah at home on Friday afternoon, which is not yet Chanukah. First day of Chanukah is Shabbos. And then they're going to daven mincha and shul. So even though it's not yet Chanukah, they should say Ala Nisim because they did the hadlaka. No. It's what to think about. Okay. People want to learn tomorrow. Hilchos hadlaka is nearest Chanukah. I have to go to a meeting tomorrow afternoon, so maybe we can start at 10 o'clock. Start at 10 o'clock, learn until around 11:30 or so. Good. And when is the final we're going to be? On Monday, 10 o'clock, or you'll negotiate? Okay. 10 o'clock on Monday, okay. I still didn't figure out when we have to have a chagigah. We have to relax a little bit. Too much concentration. We'll have to have a chagigah.